Welcome to Meeple to Meeple, uniting players from around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's board game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Are you guys ready for more? We are back for our Gen Con story, part two, the game designers community. As always, I'm PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
And we're going to continue to talk about Gen Con. Gareth, how are you, man?
I'm good. I loved last week's episode. I haven't listened to all these clips fully, so I'm looking forward to hearing from more of your amazing acquisition of audio sound clips from members of this time of the designer community.
So I think the description you hear about Gen Con from the community overall is how vast Gen Con is. It's so big. Not just the vendor hall, the whole event, taking up hotels and the Lucas Oil Stadium, and it's just so big and hard to describe. It's so vast that we had to do three episodes, right? And we're only on part two.
There's a lot of content. Otherwise, it would be here for 3 hours at a time.
Oh yeah.
We've got to keep these short and sweet. We're supposed to be 30-minute episodes, and last week, we always do a special with the cons. So
we do. Yep.
So shall we? So these people you've met?
Okay, yes. So last week was members of the Instagram community. So this week, these are either game publishers or game designers, or they were exhibitors at the hall. I met them all in one capacity or another. Some of the people you're going to hear from today, we met in the first exposure playtest hall.
Okay.
Where my wife and I were playtesting. And so we actually got to playtest their game. And I was like, hey, would you be willing to do a sound bite so we could talk about your game on our show? And they were kind enough to respond. So yeah, there's some really good games. So I hope you got your pen ready.
I have a pen.
Good.
I have my iPad ready to Google some of these games and see whether I need to add them to my wish list. Some of these games are prototypes or coming to crowdfunding.
Yes, and I'll let you know that
through
the course of the episode. Some of the games are already out and you can purchase them, and I'll try to make that distinction from segment to segment. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think so. The first one up I have Caleb.
Yes.
Hey, this is Caleb from Barrel Age Games. We are excited to have now Stool Pigeon, which is a pigeon mafia family where you take over the head of a pigeon mafia family in which you are trying to eliminate or lower the number of witnesses in your crime scene. In order to do that, you have some of your pigeon pals that are there to help maybe peek at other people's cards or even switch cards with each other. Tons of fun. There's even a rat in there, sneaky rat. You do not want him. And then a meatball, only one in the deck, but it's worth 0 points. So the goal is you want to have the lowest score before anyone at the table knocks on the table, inviting in the foul feds, and then whoever has the lowest score wins. Game plays out super fast. Each game takes only about 7 minutes. It's the game that you play over and over and over. We absolutely love it, and we've had a ton of fun getting it ready. It is for pre-sale on our website now, barrelagegames.com, and you can even, shortly it'll be on Amazon, but Stool Pigeon, be on the lookout for it, and some of the other games we have coming out soon. Thank you so much.
So do you get to play that game?
I did. And we bought a copy. So Barrel Aged Games, for those of you who don't know, they were the publishers of Moonshine Empire. And last year, Fortify, the water balloon throwing game.
Okay.
So they're pushing Stool Pigeon this year, and they had some advanced copies to sell at Gen Con. And as you heard in the clip, they'll be on Amazon. It's available for pre-order now. It is incredible. It is just so you get the four cards in front of you. You look at the two closest to you, so you know those numbers, and then you draw a card and you replace it. And you just, it's a lot of fun. It requires a little bit of memory, right? Because you're going to remember what you have, and you don't know all the cards that are in front of you. And so you want the sum of those cards at the end to be lower than everyone else's.
Lower than everyone else's.
And the way to end the game, the way to trigger the final round, is just to knock on the table. That's it.
Easy.
When a player thinks that their sum is lower than everyone else's, you knock on the table to call the feds. And then you go one round and we flip all the cards and who's ever got the smallest sum in terms of witnesses wins the game. That's it.
How many players does it play to?
2 to 6.
Have you played it and two player?
We played it at two. We
is
played
it, okay?
it, it. Yeah, it's really
okay, cool.
good.
Good, good.
We played it at 3, which was entertaining. We played it at 4, which was really good. Then we played it at 5 and 6. So it scales beautifully because, yeah.
Okay.
It's worthy. So pay attention to Stool Pigeon. Yes. Also, the designer is Nate Miller. I did not meet Nate at Gen Con, but after Gen Con, I started sharing posts about this game. He reached out to me on Instagram and he's like, dude, thanks for the product, you know. I'm like, cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Stool Pigeon.
Yep.
So up next, we've got Samuel.
Samuel. Yeah.
I'm Sam Barmettler with Around the Stump Games LLC, the publisher behind Outrun the Bear. Outrun the Bear is a survival racing game for 2 to 6 players where the goal is to not be eaten by this giant hungry bear that's chasing you down the board. You can do that in one of two ways. Make it to the safety of your car in the parking lot, or the bear happens to have an appetite only for all of your friends and family, so if you're the last one standing, it's satisfied and lets you go. The game's designed with an easy-to-get-into hand management system that allows for new players and kids to be very comfortable with it, but still, with the way the cards all play out and the changing of the board state, leaves a nice crunchy experience for more experienced gamers. My favorite experience during all of Gen Con was seeing a couple young brothers desperately trying to get each other eaten by the bear, while all the adults at the table were doing everything in their power to try to save them.
I've never Outrun the Bear.
Neither have I.
I haven't? Oh, I feel better.
No. Yeah, so this is an interesting game because you and I both have played it, not together, but
yeah,
we've played this game. So we play tested this game last
year. That's
right.
I remember you saying, yeah.
And that's how we got our name in the rule book as play testers. So Sam was one of the first people that was on our list to go see. We went to see him and say hi. Got him to autograph my rule book. I was the first autograph he's ever given. So thank you, Sam. He didn't know what he was doing. He had a pen for it. He's like, I guess I'm going to do this. And I think I messaged him later by the end of Gen Con. I was like, I bet you signed so many that you probably wish you could redo mine. We're going to try to get Sam on because this game just recently was fulfilled through Kickstarter in the summer. He was supposed to be one of our guests and our schedules were, we're going to work it. So Samuel be on to talk about Outrun the Bear. This is fun. So what are your thoughts of the game? How did you like it?
Yeah, we've played it a couple of times. The first group, I don't think anyone survived. I think we're trying to get head around the mechanics of the card discarding and whether,
right,
cause it's quite mean. Quite mean across the whole game.
It can be, yeah.
So I don't know whether we're trying to work as a team or whether we're trying to work just to survive, but it seemed to be just people ganging up on each other. And then we played it again with the work group, who enjoyed it a lot more.
Oh, good.
So I think it depends. Yeah. Do you play it aggressively or do you play it to try and get somebody to survive?
So I've played it both ways. The first time I played it, I was like, okay, we all need to survive, right? And if somebody gets eaten, well, we can't do anything about it, but let's try to get everyone to survive. And I've also played it mean. So whatever it takes,
yeah,
whatever it takes, it doesn't work. I never outrun the bear.
What I do really like is the way that the play board is a long straight, board, and then the bear just fits neatly over. The board,
and just
so slides along.
Yeah.
There's always this menacing presence of this big angry bear.
Yep.
That is
and the
chasing
game,
you
the,
as you run across
pieces, the game pieces are acrylic, so they're really
nice. It's a really nice game.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was available. So I picked that up at UK Games Expo because I think it had just been fulfilled. So we got it from the Kickstarter fulfillment team for whoever they used.
We backed it on Kickstarter when we got home from Gen Con last year because we play tested it and we're like, this is really fun, let's do it. So we did.
It's good to see a Kickstarter come through and deliver as well. So we've got Lee and Kenny up next.
Hi, everyone. We're Party Tales.
I'm Lee.
And I'm Kenny. Our new game, Time Lancers, is a time travel themed set collection game. Players will move around the city of the future, collecting resources, and then go back in time to revise historical events to complete their faction's objectives. It'll be on Kickstarter later this year, and you can find out more and sign up for our email list at timelancers.com. Our favorite moments from this year's Gen Con were being able to demo games with the designers, especially David Smith, who showed us around Junk Drawer, and Andy Kim, who helped us clean up some animals with his game, The Spill. We'd have to say that's one of our favorite things about Gen Con every year. It's making those connections with all the amazing people in the board gaming community.
Wonderful.
Right?
Tell me more.
So, first of all, I love these guys because they shared with us they played somebody else's game. Like, you know, that's great that when I asked them to talk about their game and their favorite moment was about playing someone else's game. So that was really cool. So my wife playtested, again, we're back in the first exposure playtest hall. She playtested Time Lancers last year and it went to Kickstarter. And we backed it because she enjoyed it. And I think they had some problems and they didn't hit their goals, or it was something to do with the European market. I don't remember the whole story, but it was something like that. So they pulled it down. They decided to play test it some more. So they came back this year. So both Katie and I play tested it this year. And it's interesting. It's really chunky because of this time travel. Because you're time traveling and you're altering history. So you could do something. And then if I go and change an event, say in 1503, every event after 1503 changes, including ones that you've already changed, say 1655. So it's already on your player mat. You have to flip it over because of what I've done, because you've altered. And you're
I'm intrigued. Yeah, it sounds.
It was really challenging for me to wrap my brain around. I did not perform well because time travel is a little wonky for me, but my wife loves the game. So like you heard, it's going to come to Kickstarter.
Have we got a date for that?
I think he said September, but I'm going to have to double check that. But anyway, go to timelancers.com or check out Party Tales on Instagram and, they'll keep you up to date. It's a pretty cool game. Definitely an interesting mechanic. A little different from other time traveling games I've seen. So
yeah, if you go on Board Game Geek into the general forums, there's a link to the pre-launch page. Loads of content's gone live as well in terms of videos. Oh, and there's a tabletop simulator if you want to check it out.
Yes, check it out.
Sounds really good. Right, next up we have Heather.
Hello, my name is Heather Dixon, and I'm the designer of Apostocracy. In Apostocracy, it's 1851 London, and you're new to town at the behest of your titled host. That host uses their influence to launch you into the events of the season so that you may gain the most Victoria points and become the season's favorite. One of the unusual things about it is a worker placement game, but it ends with a trick-taking game based on whist. So during the course of the season, you're going to be curating a hand of cards that you use to open the various doors, and you'll use that same hand in the end for the final whist game. I really love Gen Con. This was my second Gen Con, and it was my second time in First Exposure Playtest Hall. One of my favorite things is seeing familiar faces, so I was really happy to see PJ and Katie and a number of others. It's also really special when people come back a second year to playtest my game. It's super valuable when they see it after so many iterations and can give me their feedback, and it's always just good to see them as well. I am so looking forward to Gen Con again next year.
I've just looked it up on Instagram.
Yes.
Love the artwork. I'm loving the theme.
Yes, you are.
Did you play?
So Katie didn't, but I play tested it at First Exposure last year.
Oh.
And then I reached out to see who was going to be at Geekway, and Heather was there, and she brought Apostocracy, and Katie and I got to play test it at Geekway. And I got to see she'd made a lot of changes. Subsequently, we gave her a lot of input, and then we didn't play test it this year, but she was back again. So she's working it out. This game is getting fine tuned. When she launches on Kickstarter or hits retail, whatever that happens, look out for this game, Apostocracy. It is so good. It is so good. Yeah. I don't know what else to say because she described it beautifully. I mean, I think she explained it well, but it was great to see her. And Heather's so cool. She's just so welcoming and inviting and just open to input and to really see this game grow and change as she fine tunes it. Yeah.
It has a bit of an obsession.
Yes.
Vibes to it in terms of it does. So the rule book's up on the website. So go and check out the website or Heather Dixon's Instagram account.
Yep. And the beauty is we've squeezed obsession into this episode. How you like that?
Yeah, it's been a few weeks as well.
Yeah. So where obsession is, we're running a house in Derbyshire. In Apostocracy, you're not landed, right? You're trying to make a name for yourself and find a spouse during the season. So yeah, it's cool. Check it out.
Apostocracy. I am. That one is going to be saved. Right. Up next is Nate.
Hi, my name is Nate Linhart. I'm the designer of Tenpenny Parks, published by Thunderworks Games. Tenpenny Parks is about building your own epic amusement park and trying to bring in the most visiting people by game's end. It is a worker placement, tile placement game. Players are going to start with their own property board that you're building up, and you're going to finish building your own unique theme park from everyone else by game's end. As I said, it's worker placement, and at the heart of the game is building rides. And each of the attractions are denoted by different polyomino-shaped tiles you have to fit. And the twist of this game is the tile placement rules. Tiles actually can't touch in this game. They can touch corner to corner, but they can't touch adjacently. You need room for people to be able to move around and walk around your park. So what it does is it creates a very unique, strategic tile placement experience that most are going to be used to. It's got amazing artwork by Vincent Detroit, and it's got amazing production value by Thunderworks Games, such as a 3D carousel you actually spin throughout the game to manipulate the market prices of rides. This was my 6th Gen Con. It was another great year. It's so fun. One of my favorite parts is meeting so many new people, such as PJ. Everyone is so kind and so welcoming. And then one of my other favorite moments of this year specifically was trying Pinball Alley. I've actually never played pinball really before, and I had a lot of fun doing so, and I think I have pinball fever now.
I have made a side note, Pinball Alley, that sounds amazing, but Tenpenny Parks, I have played this game. I have had the pleasure of Nick from Board Game Review UK taught me this, and I had a lot of fun. Have you assumed you played at Gen Con?
I did. That's how I met Nate. So this was an actual, you've heard me talk about events at Gen Con.
Yeah.
This was a ticketed event that we signed up for.
Okay.
It was an opportunity to play Tenpenny Parks with the designer, Nate Linhart. And we were like, we really can't pass it up. Katie was really interested in the game. Our good friend Nick had been talking about it since he picked it up, a year ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to check it out. And to get to meet Nate is really cool. Did learn. I don't know if this is unique or not, but apparently when you play Tenpenny Park with the designer and you go to spin the carousel, you have to hum a song while you spin the carousel.
To mimic the music. Rule, we should add it in.
And that is from Nate, the designer. So if Nick is listening or when you see him, let him know. You got to hum a song when you turn the carousel. That game was awesome.
Like the whole polyomino, try and make them fit. You got the trees that are in the way.
Yes.
I don't think I did very well, if I can remember rightly. Because there's quite a few moving parts.
Yeah.
I seem to remember it's pretty tight because the market adjusts stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, I had a great time.
That was a really good game. And then trying to keep your trees because you get penalties for cutting them down or something.
That's right. You know? Yes. Yeah. That's right. You want to keep them in the park.
If you can.
Yeah.
Tenpenny Parks. Yeah. Thunderwork Games. That's going to be.
There's no sign of an expansion or anything?
He didn't mention anything. I think he's moving on to another project that he couldn't talk about. So I was like, cool. But at least he was kind enough to share his thoughts his experience. Yeah.
And then I need to look out Pinball Alley. I'm going to do that now while we listen to the next clip.
Yep.
Which is from, Tate Wu?
Tate Wu, yes.
Here we go.
Hello, this is Tate Wu, designer of In the Stars. In the Stars is a roll and draw game for 1 to 6 players. In the game, players will connect stars to create constellations on one board. They will also draw an animal icon around completed constellation, which is one of my favorite parts of the game, seeing people draw and share their creativity. No matter how strange your drawing is, a space cat is always adorable. Thank you for coming to In the Stars events at Gen Con. See you out there.
How was... So is that a to-be-released?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If I recall correctly, Tate said November of this year.
Crowdfunding or...?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got this board, and you have these neon-colored chalk markers.
Yeah.
Pink, blue, green, yellow, purple. And you have a card in front of you that has requirements that you have to meet when you draw your constellation. And once you complete those three requirements and you've done it, you then have to physically draw. You have to physically draw the constellation. And I think I had a scorpion. So I was doing Scorpio. So I drew my first one. And he's like, now you have to draw it. I'm like,
You don't want to see my drawing.
And so I draw, and I'm trying to draw around my stars and make it look like a constellation. And he's like, oh, you did good. I'm like, no, I didn't know.
And is it so looking at the pictures, it's a collective. Everyone's using the same board.
Everyone's using the same board in front of you, and you're scoring separately. Yeah, I've never seen anything like this before.
Because as soon as you said In the Stars, so we picked up a game called Look at the Stars, and which had single boards each player, but again, it was chalk.
Yep.
It was chalk pens where we had to draw constellations, but it was more flip and right. But they are very different games with very similar names. Well, that rhymes. Yeah,
yes.
It definitely looks like my cup of tea.
It's really cool. We got to play test it at the first exposure. Playtest hall is like, Tate, come on, man, you gotta give me a sound bite for this. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. I will give you a side note. While right before we play tested, guy walks up to Tate, he's getting a preview copy of something, whatever they're talking. He looks at me and he goes, do I know you? And I'm like, you do, but I'm not going to tell you where you know me from. It was Jeff, the mad board gamer. So I have now, between Origins and Gen Con, I have met the entire cast of the Gamecasters podcast. So, little plug for them. So,
yeah, I love talking to Jeff.
Yeah. So it was great to see them. So, but Tate's game is amazing. So look for it, In the Stars by Tate Wu. You will not regret it.
I have just subscribed for updates on that one. So that's really good. Yes. Okay, now we've got Adam.
My name is Adam Nikovich. I'm the operations manager and one of the designers at Tunnel Monster Collective in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My game is Chef's Table. It's a cooperative dice game about working in a fine dining kitchen. Favorite moment of Gen Con was the playtest room. It was one of the best playtest rooms I've ever participated in. Well run. Got to meet a lot of really cool people. I got to chat about game design. Can't ask for a better experience than that at a convention.
Yeah.
Nice.
Adam was really cool. And okay, so we sit down at Chef's Table. That's the name of the game. And we're waiting for the other players. And so he's talking about how the version we were about to play test was actually bigger. Like he envisioned a larger Lacerda style Euro game, okay, where you're running an entire restaurant. Well, that got too much. They pared it down. So it's a cooperative game where we're chefs in the kitchen and you roll dice and you're trying to plate food. There's three courses, so a three-course meal, and you're trying to plate the food, and each card, which is the plate,
yeah,
requires a red 6, a blue 3, whatever, right? And so you have to go to a station in the kitchen, roll the dice. But the beauty is this. You're playing blue, I'm purple. You go to the Sioux station and you roll dice. And then I go there to do it as well. I'm next to you, so I get to increase the value of any blue die I roll because you're there. So it's like if I come up to you to help work the station, it's like you're going, you're kind of helping me. You're like saying, oh no, do this or stir this or, you know, add this spice. And so for blue dice or whatever color you're playing, in this case, you would obviously be playing blue. I would get a plus one pip to that die roll. So it's very cool. And there's stations where you actually go to plate the food. There's a prep station, a sous station, a grilling station. There's another. Yeah, it looks awesome. Hopefully Adam said he's going to try and get us a preview copy so that we can play it and then we can have him on. So Adam, if you're listening, don't forget us. Meeple to Meeple. We're ready to play.
I do. It sounds like those kind of phone games where you're trying to complete orders. Mm-hmm. It's all a bit manic. I do enjoy good gather these bits, do that.
Yep.
I guess pick up and deliver kind of style of game.
A little bit. And this one really just shines through. I've worked on a line cook on a kitchen in college.
Yeah.
And I really felt that. Like we were working as a team, but we had to do it just right.
Yeah, yeah. So, spot on.
It's also asymmetrical. Each role that you're given, you know, I think it's like 8 roles. And so you have some sort of an ability, right? Like if you're a sous chef, okay, then you get a bonus when you go to that station, or if you're the expediter, you can expedite a second extra die or whatever. Right. But it's very cool. Chef's table. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've now worked out that I think Pinball Alley wasn't a game. I think Pinball Alley is it a place at Gen Con?
Yes.
Oh, to play. There's no such board game for pinballs. No. I was thinking that'd be quite a good game. I don't know how it'd work.
It's a hall of pinball games. Yes.
Well, that would be good if I went Gen Con, but
yeah,
there is no game. Right. So we have one more to do. We have Liz up next.
Hi, I'm Liz with Folded Space. We make board game inserts. They're really lightweight. They're made out of an EVA foam material with a laminated card on either side, so they don't add much weight at all to your game boxes. They're sturdy, they're easy to put together with a little bit of PVA glue, and best of all, they're pretty inexpensive, so they make a really good option for organizing your games. This was our first year at Gen Con, so we really enjoyed getting to know people that we'd only interacted with online, meeting people who had tried our products but we'd never gotten to meet before, introducing them to new fans, and most of all, we loved getting to show people our new color inserts. This is something that we've really been pushing for the last year or so. We work with the publishers to license the art of the game, which we print directly on the insert, so that makes the insert really beautiful. It also makes it really practical. Often the trays will go directly onto the game board, and you can see where all the different components go. People seem to really enjoy those, so it was a really good experience for us.
We know, big fans of Folded Space.
Yes, anyone who's listened to us knows that Gareth and I love Folded Space, love their product, and the people are amazing. I was surprised, at least in the U.S., because I did get to talk to Richard.
Yeah.
So Richard is the second person on this planet who has met both of us now.
Wow. These lucky individuals.
Right. I know. You know. So if you are ever in England and you're in Midwest U.S., you can meet Gareth and I.
And be one of those lucky. We need to make a little badge. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See, maybe it's half the badge is Meeple and the other half is another Meeple, and they can.
Oh.
So I've just made some merch, but before we get distracted by that idea.
So it was great to talk to Richard. Their booth was very successful. They were there, they were busy the whole time. Was surprised how many people, it was their first time purchasing a Folded Space insert, was at Gen Con. He had commented, a lot of people. So it was great. It gave them more exposure to an American market.
I guess Frosthaven is their big product. I think anyone who did the back end would have, no?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, but their color line of inserts has really grown. They're doing more and more. I'm trying to think of the most recent one that surprised me. Oh, Lost Ruins of Arnak.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen that one yet. I've seen that.
And I'm like, I have the gray one, so I'm not going to buy the color one. But now I'm like, I told Richard, I was like, how could you do that to me?
I think if people go back, we have our interview with Richard an episode maybe 15 or so ago.
Yeah, he was our very first guest on here.
And he talked to me at the UK Games Expo about printing. And actually, I think if I remember rightly, it's cheaper to print the color inserts than it was the gray.
Yeah. How about that?
But you need the right machinery. So yeah, it's great that product line is, I guess, rapidly evolving. I'm sure it never stops. I mean, at UKGE, they'd sold out by the Sunday. Is that similar?
He did not sell out. When I saw him at the end of the day on Sunday, they still had product left.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah.
Very popular. Yeah, big fan. Definitely need to get a few more of those into a number of recent acquisitions I have. Okay, so that is the end of our designer episode.
Yeah.
Our next episode, we're going to hear your personal experience.
I'll just wax melodical for 30 minutes or less and tell you about my thoughts and my experience at Gen Con with all the people I met.
It's PJ's road trip.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I look forward to hearing more about your road trip to Gen Con and your post-gaming experiences. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.